Sextortion typically happens in relationships. And I should add, according to the Department of Justice, it's the fastest growing crime online against young people, with the average age of a victim being 15 years of age. So there's a couple in a relationship. Again, this is not the only way, but this is a very common way. Nudes are exchanged. Then one partner wants to break up with the other. The person who's being broken up with says, if you break up with me, I'm gonna take that nude you sent me, I'm gonna post it online and share it with everyone you know. Or a slight variation, if you don't come back to our relationship, I'm gonna take that nude, post it online and share it with everyone you know. Hey everyone, I'm Jonathan Crystal here in Los Angeles. I'm a veteran prosecutor for the city of LA. I'm a husband, father to three sons. I was once a troubled teen, and I've written a book called What They Don't Teach Teens, 21st Century Life Skills for Young People and Their Families.
Jonathan, it's so great to have you on the podcast here today. For all of you listening to the SmartSocial.com podcast, you know that we stand for keeping your kids safe on social media so they can someday shine online. Someday they can get that dream college, career, internship, and everything else. Jonathan's here today because he's got so much insight into what could go wrong. And his book is chock full of tips and tactics. Jonathan, I want you to give us a few of the tips on a few of the topics, because our listeners want to know about underage sexting. Moms and dads are going, what do I need to know to keep my kids safe? Because they don't mean to do this, but they could accidentally do something that could get them in trouble. Next, I want to ask you about revenge porn. I want to ask you to define it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about how to talk to our kids about it. And then I want a couple other tips from your book.
So I'll first start by saying the book is divided into 11 chapters and three sections. You have one section on police interactions and street safety. You have another section on sexual violence and misconduct. And then the third section, a big part of the book, is on digital safety, digital technologies. And of course, in one or two of those chapters, you were kind enough to weigh in on some of the things we're talking about. Now, I teach all of the topics from this book virtually these days via Zoom, but also in person. And I can tell you, of all the topics I talk about, one of the most common questions I get from young people and from parents is about nudes, sexting. So let me start by saying, it's understandable if you have questions about this, you're not alone. There's a lot of confusion. So first and foremost, if you are under 18 years of age and you take a nude or in possession of a nude of someone underage, it is a serious crime. It's essentially a felony related to child pornography, a serious crime. Now, let me break that down. If I'm under 18 and I take a nude or partially nude image of myself, it's on my camera roll. I have not only created child pornography, I'm in possession of child pornography, again, even of an image of myself. Now, this is absurd, right? Because the child pornography laws were meant to protect children, not prosecute them. It's quite simply a situation where the laws haven't kept up with technology. And so now we're in this really weird place where in some situations, schools, police, prosecutors, the courts are getting involved to arrest and prosecute young people for, in some situations, exchanging nudes knowingly and not really realizing that they could get arrested and prosecuted for it. Now, having said that, young people have been arrested and prosecuted and had to even register as sex offenders for nudes. But that is unlikely, okay? Those things have happened. But the far more likely consequences from underage sexting is going to be cyberbullying, social and emotional consequences, revenge porn, and sextortion.
What would you say to some parents that say, that's not going to happen in my family? I'm fine. Nothing bad has happened, Jonathan. I'm okay. Not in my backyard.
Well, that's... I think a pretty fairly commonly used tactic about, you know, how to protect ourselves is denial and hope. And hope is not a strategy. We all hope that these things don't happen to us. We all hope that these things don't happen to our kids. But from my perspective, you know, this book, again, there's 300 and something pages. There's a lot in this book. There should be something for everybody. But the bottom line is, this isn't about scaring people. This isn't about telling them what to do, what not to do. This is simply about information. We want our children or the young people we care about, whether or not we're biologically related to them, we want them to make informed choices. And you can't make informed choices without information. And so that's my objective here. Get people information so they can make good choices and hopefully they'll do what's right.
That's great. All right, let's dive on into what is revenge porn?
So revenge porn, first of all, is a serious crime and can get somebody in a lot of trouble if they perpetrate these acts. So there's a number of different ways revenge porn can happen, but one of the most common or frequent is when partners are in a relationship, an intimate relationship, and let's say there's a breakup and one of the partners is really mad, rightly or wrongly, they're really mad. So they take an image that they obtained consensually or knowing there's a difference, of course, during the relationship. And out of spite and anger and to humiliate, they take that nude image and they post it online onto a revenge porn website. They tag the person who's depicted in the image. And essentially that nude is online for the world to see and the person is identified in that image with their name, where they go to school, et cetera. And you're talking about a crime of unspeakable brutality. And Josh, as you know, as well as anybody, you know, once that image goes up, it's really, really hard to take it down, at least completely.
Yeah, and I teach students how to shine online. Those Google results, parents, are the new resume. They are exactly what people go to learn more. We're all in the FBI when it comes to wanting to find out, whether it's finding out if that restaurant down the street is open till 10 p.m., you go and Google it or Yelp it or whatever. And we're also all in the FBI to find out more about that person that we heard about. We're all curious. And what Jonathan is alluding to and talking about is so very important. I love what you said, Jonathan. I've already gotten a couple nuggets from you. I've been taking notes in the background, right? Denial and hope are not a strategy, right? I think that's so powerful. Okay, so we've defined what is underage sexting and how very important it is. Even the laws haven't kept up. So parents, you've got to keep up with a healthy dialogue, right? And also revenge porn, very, very dangerous. You got to have a dialogue with your kids about what can go wrong. What are some of your tips on how parents can talk to your kids? What are some dialogue starters about these two topics?
Okay, well, I'm so glad you asked that because let me first start by saying I'm a father to three sons. I got three teenagers and I know a lot of information because of my background and training and experience and interviewing people like you, Josh, and writing, but I'm struggling too. It's hard for all of us parents to navigate these years. So I'm certainly not saying that I have all of the answers, but some things that I have found through the course of writing this book that I think are really effective are in Appendix 6. For those of you who pick up the book, it's a whole section just on talking to your children or the young people you care about the information in this book. And I think one of the most important is for us as parents and caregivers to realize that, you know, we hope our children will always share with us when they're in a time of need. Mm-hmm. But let's face it, they're going to be less likely to come to us if they think they're going to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. So what I've tried to instill in my own sons is like, if you're ever in need, if you're ever hurting, if you're ever struggling, please come to me, come to your mom. You're not going to get in trouble. Okay. We are here to try to help you navigate. Now, it may not always be perfectly smooth, and we cannot say it's going to be resolved in a day, but you deserve to have people who have your back. We always have your back. Our objectives are not about getting you in trouble. It's about helping you. Now, we hope that that will give our sons some comfort if and when they need to come forward and talk to somebody, but we've taken it a step further. What we've also told our sons is that, look, you know, we want to be the people you come to first when you're in need. And there's going to be a time, guys, where you are in need. Maybe you can turn to each other. Maybe you want a trusted adult. Please come to us first. But if for some reason you don't feel that you can talk to us, well, we've designated, as they know, a safe uncle. Yep. So there's an uncle who knows that our sons can call him anytime, 24/7, and as long as they're not going to hurt themselves or someone else, he is free to help them without ever telling us. Whatever they say to him isn't going to make it back to us, again, unless it's, you know, something serious where someone's well-being is at stake, because we want our sons to reach out. Now, and one of the things, going back to revenge porn that we talked about, one of the things that really stood out for me, and we should also talk about sextortion briefly, but one of the things, when I saw these, there's so many true stories in the book, And one of the things I saw over and over was that the young people, when it was a nude image that got out or some sort of something that impacted, typically a photo that impacted their digital footprint or their relationships, not only did they blame themselves so much of the time that someone else breached their trust, but so much of the time they suffered in silence. And I remember just going through all these stories and go, gosh, you know, I wish you could have just gone and talked to somebody, found someone you trusted, because it's so hard to navigate these issues all by yourself. And by the way, Josh, we've been calling it revenge porn, and that's how people typically know of it. But more accurately, it's really image-based sexual abuse.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, it's tough. Imagine, just a quick background on me. I ran for politics many years ago, Jonathan. And when I was running for city council, a nonpartisan, I was positive. I was knocking on thousands of doors, Jonathan, because I set out to knock on more doors, be more positive as a businessman and meet the needs of everybody. Two bloggers decided they didn't like any of the candidates and they blogged negatively about everyone. And they picked on the youngest guy, me. The guy that was new to town, that was young and hardworking. And then I got to tell you, parents, if you're listening or watching this right now, as an adult, it hurt because I reached out and said, hey, can we talk about this? You don't have to vote for me for city council, but you're going to want to meet me and you might like me. Everybody else seems to like me and they don't have to vote for me, right? I'm going to work hard and listen to you. They said, we do not want to listen to you. We will continue to blog about you. And we're basically going to hurt everybody, especially you. Now we're going to pick on you more. I got to tell you, the best thing ever happened to me in that is I got to understand how a child feels. Internalizing that was so tough, to be bullied in that way. For someone to not want to listen, none of my friends really understood. I was going through a lot of pressure. Parents, I had the vocabulary to communicate that to my friends and an inner circle who was rooting for me. And I had big brands that were rooting for the underdog because they were all watching the campaign. And it actually put me on the map on how positive we were. But understand that your teenager, your middle schooler, does not have that vocabulary to describe the hurt that they're going through. So anything that they do, and please understand, parents, I know what you're thinking. My kids aren't talking to anybody bad online. A predator is going to seem like the nicest person your children have ever met. They're going to try and get in there with your kids and go, oh yeah, your dad's a jerk, but I'll be nice to you. Send me an inappropriate photo. Oh, send me another one. They're going to be so nice to your kids. It's sad. It's scary. And then they're going to take those photos and get more and more and more. And that's where you got to be careful. Take it from somebody who was hurt as an adult. And we want to give these kids a vocabulary on how to avoid that stuff. Jonathan, these tips are amazing. You've shared with us a ton of stuff. One of my favorite things that you shared that really I don't think it gets enough value in the world is you designated a cool other adult. And I mean cool because they're outside.
Yeah.
Every parent listening to this right now is thinking, I'm the mom, I'm the dad, and I'm so uncool and kids don't want to talk to me. Another thing that you said that is so powerful that nobody talks about is your oldest kid who might go off to college is still going to look out after the kids that are in high school and they're going to call you someday maybe. I get these all the time. Hey, mom, I'm worried about my high school sibling because they mentioned something. They're going to go meet up with somebody at a park and something shady. I don't get it. And then the mom gets involved and the police are involved and something bad goes down. I love those two tips. I think it's absolutely great. What are some of the other things we need to know from your book?
Well, you know, there's so much in the book. And again, it's well over 300 pages. And I hope people, you know, pick it up and read it cover to cover. But it's really not intended to be that way. It's an ongoing resource. And so when you have whatever issue or whatever thing you want to highlight for, you know, your kid, you pick up the book and highlight that. But I, you know, similar to what we've been talking about with respect to sexting and revenge porn, it is worth mentioning sextortion. I have an entire chapter of the book dedicated solely to sextortion because it is so under talked about and misunderstood. And again, I want to be clear that I'm not saying anyone is going to be sextorted, but I can tell you no one who has been sextorted ever thought they would be. No victim ever thought they would be victim. So sextortion is like a cousin to revenge porn, and sextortion is online sexual blackmail. And it can happen a number of different ways. And Josh, it could happen one of the ways you mentioned with someone grooming someone online, catfishing them, you know, creating this fake online persona to lure someone into a relationship. But sextortion typically happens in relationships. And I should add, according to the Department of Justice, it's the fastest growing crime online against young people, with the average age of a victim being 15 years of age. So there's a couple in a relationship. Again, this is not the only way, but this is a very common way. Nudes are exchanged. Then one partner wants to break up with the other. The person who's being broken up with says, if you break up with me, I'm going to take that nude you sent me, I'm going to post it online and share it with everyone you know. Or a slight variation, if you don't come back to our relationship, I'm going to take that nude, post it online, and share it with everyone you know. It is a crime, and it's a serious crime, let's be clear, of unspeakable brutality. And I had a lot of struggles as a teenager. I was lucky to live through my teen years, more about that in the book. But I can't even imagine having someone do that to you. And if you don't have a safety net, you're confused. Do I give in to the demands? Do I get back together with them? Do I give them what they're asking for, a bribe or more images? And it's so important to be able to have someone that you trust to talk with, preferably an adult. Because once again, I saw way more stories, sad stories of sextortion, tragic stories of sextortion, almost exclusively with people, young people under the age of 18, almost exclusively with children. And I saw them struggling. And I'd say the one recurring theme I saw with the ones who were struggling the most is that they were trying to navigate it by themselves. They were trying to figure out, God forbid, you'd have a hard time. I'd have a hard time as an adult trying to navigate any such terrain. But for a young person, it's even more difficult.
Yeah. And this is why you and I do what we do, is to help them navigate that. Parents, please understand, if you're not talking with your kids and you think, just as Jonathan so well stated earlier, denial and hope is not a strategy. You cannot sit back in this case. We must protect your student. We must protect the students around your student, right? If you talk to your student and give them a vocabulary of how to communicate the pain that they might feel, or the pain that one of their friends might feel, then your student is going to communicate with you that one of their friends is going through. We're building a little tiny nest, and I don't think people say it enough. It's a little bit cliche to say that it takes a community or a village to raise a student, to a kid, but it really takes also a village to raise a community of children right now. And everybody's got to look out for everybody else. It cannot just be one. And that's where we see some of this breakdown happen. Like, oh, I'll be ready when I'm ready, right? And that's where you got to have that seatbelt on, because you're not going to be ready for a car accident. Heaven forbid, if you were ever in one, you put that seatbelt on first in preparation to keep yourself safe. And those are the things we're talking about here today. Hey, Jonathan, I want to thank you for coming on here today. You're a huge resource. Hold up that book again. Show us what that amazing thing is. Well, they don't teach teens. Now, he's a veteran prosecutor. He's got all this legal advice. So if you want that, you can go pick it up on Amazon. It's sold everywhere books are sold. He's spoken to some incredible places. I'm a little bit envious, I gotta be honest. He's spoken to some of the most elite high schools, Beverly Hills High Schools, Crossroads Schools for the Arts and Sciences, Young Presidents Organizations, Entrepreneurs Organizations, you name it, in Los Angeles, California. He's been there, and I'm honored to have been able to contribute to the book. And Jonathan, thanks for your time here today.
Thanks so much, Josh. I really appreciate your support and the assistance with the book.
Absolutely. Everybody else, if you're listening or watching, you can click the links below to pick up the book on Amazon. Also, please talk to your kids about their Google footprint. If they don't want to listen to you, we have a program at smartsocial.com and resources that are going to walk you through all kinds of different safety protocols, and then also how to shine online someday. We want to make sure that your kid has an online portfolio to take the things that they're already working on, the passion, the projects, the public service, and put them online and start to realize, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. I'm a positive person. And when they brand themselves online before you think that they need to, that means at the age of 11, 12, 13, 14, then all of a sudden with a private portfolio, they're building out a micro resume so that when they get on Instagram, they know how to brand themselves in a positive way, to be a good citizen, a good friend, and to make sure that they're protecting themselves from the future, so that you, parent, you don't have to worry about them in the future. And so they can protect themselves from their future, and they can take ownership of the stuff that they put online. You can learn more at smartsocial.com. We are your partners, and we're here to protect your children for the long run. Thank you to Jonathan and all the other awesome guests that are doing such great things to protect your family. We'll see all of you very soon. Have a great day. And as always, keep it light, bright, and polite. Take care.